Good morning. Welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 16th perek of Melachim Beis. The topic of this perek is Achaz and his strange alliance. Achaz is the son of Yotam. So just in terms of putting things into perspective, we're in the southern kingdom, we're in the kingdom of Yehuda. Yotam was a righteous king. He was a good king of Yehuda. He did everything right in the eyes of Hashem, except he didn't he did not abolish the bamos, the personal altars of people. However, Achaz is a different story. Achaz is a rather wicked king. He does not go b'derech ha-yosher, as Tanakh emphasizes. And in fact, he goes in the ways of the kings of Israel. This is really one of the first kings we're going to see of the south who is moving in this direction. And unfortunately, as a result of this, we see that he is now going to be besieged by his enemies. And those enemies are going to include Pekach Ben Remaliahu, the northern king of Israel at the time. And also, joining the bandwagon is Ritzin, the king of Aram. Remember, Ritzin was pushed back by his father Yotam, so Ritzin is now entering. So he is being besieged. In fact, the whole area is looted, except they're not able to penetrate Yerushalayim. So he is under a terrible siege. But remember, at this time, Tanakh tells us that he wasn't an innocent person. He actually passed his children through the fire. This was a type of idol worship, which is called Molech. The Torah talks about it, whether it means they actually burnt or sacrificed a child, or they brought their children ritually between two fires. Nonetheless, it is a pretty terrible experience. And it is a form of idol worship. If you go up to northern Phoenicia today, where Phoenicia used to be up the coast, there are many urns of ashes of children which are marked in the Ugaritic letters MLK, not for Martin Luther King, but for Molech, which is, of course, their god, which they sacrifice them to, and he was engaged in this process to himself. Okay, so what happens is, when under siege from his enemies from the north, what does he do? He does a terrible thing. He sends out an emergency call to Tiglath-Pileser. Tiglath-Pileser again is the general of Ashur of Assyria up north, and he calls him and he sends him a large bribe of money and silver to help him escape his enemies. His enemies include the king of Israel, and that's what happens. Tiglath-Pileser comes in, kills the king of Edom, Ritzin, and exiles his people to a place called Kir. So here we have a Jew against a Jew against a non-Jew, and alliances which are forming across the country here. The Chida points out that, in fact, if you read Divrei Hayamim, there's actually worse details which are worse details which emerge from the story about the attack, but where he is being shielded in Melachim over here from the full details, because in respect to his father Yotam and his son, who's going to be Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Just my own comment at this point before going any further is that when he reaches out to Tiglath-Pileser, the message he sends is, he says, Avdecha ubincha ani, I'm your servant and son. In a certain sense, what he's saying is that my allegiances, my tradition, my legacy comes from you, O Tiglath-Pileser, when he says, I'm your son. And that's going to be a very worrying thing. This is something which, when we as Jews in our long extended periods of Golos turn to other powers and forces and say, we are your son or daughter, that's not a good sign for the Jews. So what happens afterwards? After this battle is won, the siege of Jerusalem is lifted because of his unholy alliance. He goes to Damascus to go and pay homage to the king of Assyria. And there he goes up to Damascus, and he sees this beautiful altar. And in fact, in Divrei Hayamim, it tells us that he actually sacrifices on the altar in Damascus to the gods of Assyria. And he is so entranced by this that he sends a message immediately back to Uriah HaKohen, who is in Jerusalem. His name is Amariah in Divrei Hayamim. And he sends back a message and he says, I want you to make an altar which looks just like the one I'm seeing in Damascus route, in Damasek. And that's what he does. He as he arrives back in Yerushalayim, already Uriah has made this Mizbech. And the first thing he does is he, as the king, goes and brings up his Ola and his Mincha on that altar. Can you imagine this? The king of Israel bringing up. Achaz comes home and he brings up a sacrifice on this altar. And then he brings another sacrifice on the Mizbech of Hashem. And in fact, Uriah makes a whole, Achaz makes this whole division in which he says, well, what you're going to do is, on the Mizbech HaGadol, you're going to bring the Oila HaSabaykar and the Mincha HaSa'erev. And the olas of the melech. And the olas kol ha'am you'll bring on that altar. So he starts dividing up which altar gets which. So you can imagine, in the base of the Mikdash, you have one altar for Hashem, and one altar which is essentially for the gods of Damascus, for the Assyrian gods. Okay, so we're talking about a real deal polytheism over here. Now, this could be, just before going any further, Rabbi Chaim Angel talks about this. This could be because, it's not that he doesn't believe in God, but he believes in God plus, right? Meaning it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and, you know, plus minus a number of family members up there, you know, on the in heaven. So he's going to try to hedge his bets. You know, whoever helps me in battle, I'll take it. But that doesn't work with monotheism. You know, monotheism is to the exclusion of all other powers. So this is a terrible mistake he makes. And in fact, he starts telling Uriah to dismantle the stages or the carts which carry the mechonot, which are the kiaras that the washing stations that Shlomo HaMelech had set up, and he removes the yam. Remember that huge basin of water from the spring, which was standing on 12 cows when Shlomo HaMelech made it. He removed that from its platform and placed it on the ground. Why does he do that? So the Rashi points out that the reason is because he wanted to place his altar closer to the Heichal, closer to God's temple, than the one which was already there attached to the ground. So he sort of shifted everything over. You can imagine the embarrassment in doing this. The last action he does in this area is he removes the Musach HaShabbos and the Mevor HaMelech. He turned around. He turned around the entrance of the king. What does that mean? So so Rashi points out that the Mevor HaMelech is the king's gate that led from the king's house, which is his own personal entranceway into the Beis HaMikdash. And he realized now that he is now sort of, you know, coming all nice and close and cozy to Tiglath Pileser, he realizes that there's a threat. What happens if Tiglath Pileser turns his back on him, which isn't such a unthought of idea? So he says, well, I know that my door leads from my palace into the Beis HaMikdash, so he flips the door in such a way that it can't be accessed from the outside, just in case there's going to be a siege from the person he turned to as his friend. At the same time, he also removes the Musach HaShabbos, which seems to be this canopy, which would be there to help escort or bring in the new and old watchers of the Kohanim, which the Malim points out, based on Divrei HaYamim, it means to say that he is slowing down the Avodah. From this point in time, the lights are going out. The avoda is being diminished at this point in time. And unfortunately, when you think to yourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you destroy the Beis HaMikdash? We have to think to ourselves, well, weren't we doing it to ourselves? Weren't we extinguishing that light beforehand? Now, of course, this is not the end. There's going to be amazing kings to come still. We're still going to see Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Yoshiyahu. We have tremendous kings who are still to come. But nonetheless, we already see the decline which is happening over here. And this is the end of Ahaz's rule. Ahaz passes away and is buried in the city of David, and his son Chizkiyahu takes over. Chizkiyahu, for us, for those of you feeling a little depressed at this point in time in Sefer Melachim Beis, Chizkiyahu is going to be the upswing, is going to be a time of almost close to the Messiah, as close as we possibly can. So it is an upscale. It is the movement up again. Bezos Hashem, we should be able to witness that ourselves. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.